Here's Howie with Howard Saxton.
Howie, how's your mega hat?
You know something? You say, I'm watching the debate, so you don't have to. Yes. Kill me now. Don't let me do this again ever, please.
Was it that bad, Howie?
It was that bad. I think we saw the end of Western civilization as we know it.
So tell us, alright, give us a sense. What actually was the debate? What was the run up? And why was it so terrible?
So it's the first debate. There are three debates that are taking place between the candidates. This one took place in Cleveland, in the Cleveland Medical Center, in the Sheila and Eric Sampson section of the Cleveland Medical Center. There's a very nice South African connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are a number of South African connections to the American presidential elections. So, for example, Joe Biden's son, Hunter, is married to Melissa Cohen from Johannesburg.
Sure.
They have matching shalom tattoos.
So, oh, my word.
So we should feel very close to what's happening
we
in
should,
America.
Indeed.
Okay. And according to Trump, apparently they're by extension close to Ukraine and Russia as well.
Exactly. But you know something? I think the person you have to feel most sorry for was in fact the debate moderator. So Chris Wallace from Fox News, and as we know, Fox is very sympathetic towards the president, but Chris Wallace is probably the least biased of all of their commentators. Chris Wallace tries to chair a debate that was uncharitable. These were two delinquents who did not listen. Donald Trump was completely out of control. He interrupted, he bullied, he wrangled his way into every conversation. Time after time, Chris Wallace had to say to him, Mr. President, you've agreed to the rules. Your people have agreed to the rules. Please abide by the rules. It is not within the Trump nature. He's incapable of doing it. And Joe Biden looked a little like one of those stuffed dolls that had been stuck up after a president has died, with his mouth moving a little bit. And it really seemed to be a debate between early dementia and clinical insanity.
Wow, Howard, that is, the would-be leader and the current leader of the free world you're discussing.
Well, you know, at one point in time, Joe Biden says to Trump, will you shut up, man?
Mm.
I mean, the thing was just complete and utter chaos.
But what led to that? Was it the race debate or the COVID-19?
No, actually, it was not about any substance at all.
Wow.
It was one of pure style. I mean, both candidates were inaccurate. Trump made up facts along the way. And at the one crucial moment, Chris Wallace gives Trump the opportunity to condemn white supremacy. And he just can't do it. But then again, he can't string any sentence together on any topic. When you try think of a sentence having a structure, a beginning, a middle, an end, things like verbs and nouns, these are a complete mystery to President Trump. He starts one sentence and ends two or three other sentences.
Now, Howard, I understand you saying there was no substance to the debates, but they did cover issues. They actually came up, right? So what sort of things are we seeing shaping the debate discourse if at least the candidates are not doing it?
So, look, I think most people go into these debates already having decided who they're going to vote for. Mm-hmm. There are very few people who are completely undecided when it comes to it. And now you go and you try and look at all the polls. You try to understand, did this affect people who have not yet decided? Now, when you look at the polls, and of course, polling is determined by who you ask, and we know the American public, as most public, lie terribly when it comes to polls. Mm-hmm. So I've been traveling around left-wing, right-wing websites, all of them voting to see how the results are coming up. Most people, it seems to appear that most people thought that Joe Biden actually won the debate. But this was a debate where neither candidate was able to stamp their authority on any specific issue. It's almost like the issues were really irrelevant to the style that took place. In fact, when you go and look at CBS News, they did polling straight afterwards, and they asked Americans, what did you feel about the debate? 69% said that they felt annoyed. 31% thought it was entertaining, 19% thought that it was pessimistic, and only 17% thought that it was informed in any way at all. So isn't that amazing that the main reaction is in fact a reaction of annoyance? Well, and then they ask people, you know, who do you think, how do you think you felt about Donald Trump? Well, does he care about people? 46% of people said before that, yes, they thought he cared about people. 46% said afterwards. Is he honest and trustworthy? It's 41-42%. Has he got the stamina for the job? Well, Trump seemed to come across with a lot of stamina. There seemed to be that, that he was full of energy. He was full of spunk. He was full of vitriol. But on the other side, when asked, for example, do you think Joe Biden cares about people, his numbers went up, 52 to 55. Is he trustworthy, 50 to 51? Does he have the stamina? He went up from 46 to 49. So it wasn't a bad night for Joe Biden, but it certainly wasn't a good night for America.
Yeah, certainly it is something of an indictment on the political culture there at the moment, unfortunately. As you might expect, Howard, people are coming in left, right, and left and right on this issue in terms of our SMS line. Clive, in particular, saying that he thinks Wallace was a bit of a clown and that Trump missed an opportunity to really take out Biden entirely. Somebody else saying to put Trump up against Biden in a debate is an insult to Trump. He has dementia. So there's certainly it's bringing out the partisan nature, I think, of this whole thing in general.
So I think what we've proved, and I, you know, we keep on joking about, does Joe Biden have dementia? Does he have Alzheimer's? He gave an adequate but not impressive performance. The thing that he seemed to have difficulty on was when Trump tried to pull him to name names of organizations or peoples about things, he seemed to struggle to be able to recall a name or to recall which organizations he claims that they're law enforcement agencies that do support him. And Trump says, which one? And he can't recall the one. He says, members of the Trump team say, and Trump says, who says? And he seems to have difficulty recalling that. But it didn't seem to be dementia. But on the other hand, you had this obnoxious, bullying, continuous interruption. Even when Chris Wallace says, and I know we've had some criticism of Chris Wallace actually, I think, did a fairly good job under the circumstances. But it is like sitting in the middle of a hurricane. You have a president that's completely out of control, that's not abiding by any of the rules, who's just bulldozing his way through. You know, the only other alternative is for Chris Wallace to turn off his microphone. And I see there have been some suggestions that in the next debates, maybe that's exactly what they should do. But you just have to look at these facial expressions. I mean, Donald Trump pulls out these things against Biden's son. And Biden says, my son, Bo, was in the military. He won a purple medal of honor. And Trump says, I have no idea who that is. I'm talking about your other son, Hunter.
Mm. Now, apart from this aspect, I mean, we've got two more of these debates in the run-up to November, Howard. Can we expect more of this? Some people calling already for the debates to be cancelled. Do you think if this is sort of a bad start for sort of both candidates, are we going to see more of the same? Or do you think that the teams are going to pivot slightly and start looking at some other version of this?
Well, the way the American system works is, they now go and poll. They now go and understand what did people like, what did they not like. They'll go minute by minute through all of these things and they'll check people's reactions. And then they will change their presidential candidate's performance as much as the candidate is able and willing to change. So the first one's always a general debate and the second one's usually about domestic policy and the third one's usually about foreign policy. So the tone of the debate changes. The first one's always the most important because that's where people get their opinions and their understandings from. And the next two are more specific about issues. And so now we'll see, in fact, you'll see tone changes as much as the candidates are capable of toning. You know, these things don't happen by accident. These are weeks and weeks of preparations. People stand in, they do mock debates over and over again. At least that's what Joe Biden would do. You don't know if the president, in fact, has the time or inclination to do that. But you will definitely see some changes in the performance, in the next performance, based on what did work and what didn't work, and based on what really will be thousands and thousands of people polling minute by minute or reacting minute by minute, and the campaigns looking at these reactions. Because this isn't art. This is absolute science.
So silence certainly is not.
They will have hundreds of people sitting in a room, and they'll be checking their temperature and their heart rate and their pulse and their blood pressure. And they'll see people's reactions, and they'll see how are Democrats reacting to things? How are Republicans reacting to things? How are undecided voters reacting to things? And most importantly, you know, the American election is decided by swing states, seven swing states. They're going to look at voters in those swing states, and they're going to look at the undecided voters in those swing states. Because if you cut down to see who will change the American election results, there are probably only about 1.5 million people in America who will decide who the next president is. And you have to work out who those people are, and you have to go influence them. And that's going to decide the tone of the next debate.
Well, Howard, I'm sorry to say that you are going to have to letting us know how that goes, and we're going to look forward to you watching the next few debates, and so you can tell us how they go. So thank you so much for joining us and bringing us this erudite, considered discussion on the key issues of the day facing America and the free world.
You owe me huge, Benji.
Thank you, Howard. By the way, it does look as though Chai FM listeners, at least the ones that are SMSing us in, are definitely more on the Trump train. According to Mertel, whose telegram does in Trump showed Biden, who is boss, Hama Hamor, Benjamin DeVette saying, morning Benji, it seems to me that should the Yanks vote for that Biden bloke for president, America and the world will be in for a difficult time. Yes, Trump is a bit weird, but it seems to me that he's a better option. That's from Benjamin DeVette. And we have Yaya saying MAGA 2020, someone else saying it's rather unfair to talk about Trump and rules while for the past 4 years the left have been pounding Trump regardless of facts and truth. So there we go. That is, as usual, an intelligent debate on Trump and the American elections.